B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What do you know of the plan to finding one now in Foxborough?
Green, that may be the plan going into training camp, where there is no obvious starter, where you have Jarrett Stidham on a rookie contract. You've got Brian Hoyer on a salary where basically he's making $2 million, of which the Colts are paying half. And you draft another young quarterback, and then you've got three quarterbacks, all capable, all waiting to see what we could do, all at that same point in time on inexpensive contracts, and you take that money and you rebuild the rest of the roster, and you put money elsewhere, and you sign young players to extensions, and you have a lot of extra money to spend because you haven't spent it at the quarterback position, because frankly right now, there's nobody that the Patriots have identified that that money's worth spending on. So again, you're going to have Stidham competing for the job. Brian Hoyer is going to be capable of competing for the job. I think they draft another quarterback, and if there's some veteran quarterback still on the street in a couple of weeks, no home, price dropped, maybe the Patriots bring him into the mix as well. But I think that right now, they feel pretty comfortable with the quarterback situation with Brian Hoyer back in the fold, and they'll let these men compete this summer. There's not a lot of money invested in the position. It gives them flexibility and options, and let the best men win that job.
Everybody, how's it going? Big Jim Murray here in our Town Fair Tire Studios, along with Jimmy Stewart and Billy Lanny behind the glass. Anthony Maserati on location. Maz, how are you?
Good, you?
Just peachy. Thank you so much again from our Town Fair Tire Studios here. Maz on location. Stu, Billy, how are you all doing?
Thanks. All right.
Yeah, thanks for the long intro. You hanging in there, Murray?
Yeah, day-to-day, hour-to-hour, like everyone else.
Okay. We can grind it out. I'm going to grind this out like the best of them. I'm going to do what we usually do, which is get sporty. There may come a time here where we may run out of things to talk about as it relates to the Patriots and Brady, although I doubt it. There's always fresh material there.
Right. Thankfully, news keeps happening on that front.
Yes, and things keep happening. So there may come a time where we may have to sort of switch gears, do more on the virus, do more newsy stuff, do more whatever, but I think we can just plow ahead and do what we do, which is rumor monger and talk crap about sports, and the Brady story keeps continuing. And so we're just going to do that, and we'll do that with you out there at 617-779-0985. You heard Adam Schefter there. Brian Hoyer back to the Patriots, which isn't a surprise, except they told he and his agent that he will be competing for the starting job. So, Maz, let me start with you and ask you, if this is all they do at quarterback, how would you feel about that?
I hate it. Hate it. And so, look, again, I'm not a Hoyer fan. I know what Brian Hoyer is. If they want to create competition for Jarrett Stidham, I'm all for that. I'd rather be a young guy in the draft. I'll tell you how much I really hate the Brian Hoyer move. And when I say hate it, I mean, you know, they're going to bring him into camp. I get it. But my point is, if that's their solution, I think they can do better. I'd rather see Cody Kessler get the job. I know what Brian Hoyer is. I know what he is. And I think that they could do just as well with Stidham. I'm intrigued to find out whether they could do the same with Kessler. So I had hoped for something better than this in the Brady story. I thought the Patriots would be a little bit more proactive than they have been in this process. I didn't think it would get to the point where they would just pick up the first available guy on the street that they liked. In this case, it was Hoyer. Again, I thought Belichick would take more of a preemptive measure. And clearly, that's not the case. They're just going to see what lands on the street and pick it up and take a crack at it. I know they've had Hoyer here before. We all do.
Maz, I think you mentioned this last week. Remember that Adam Schefter report, I suppose? You know, yeah. One of his cuts he had on ESPN in the morning. And this was, months ago, before we really got into the heat of free agency, where he said, and it was sort of a warning, he said, the Pats aren't going to be caught with their pants down like they were with Rob Gronkowski. They're going to be proactive. They're not going to wait. And now you look back in hindsight, what a piece of bullcrap that was.
Oh, completely. And you know what? It was Chris Gasper of the Globe who brought it up. And good for him, because he's right on. The whole idea that when they went through it with Gronk, they got stuck holding the bag. They ended up with no tight end, and Belichick wasn't going to let that happen again at quarterback. In retrospect, it was clearly a negotiating ploy with Brady. There was really nothing to that, because otherwise, how could you possibly explain them waiting for Brian Hoyer to be released by the Indianapolis Colts? That was the plan?
Oh, right.
No way.
But, you know, you have to wonder if the plan was Brady caving. This is not Belichick's master plan. They were counting on Brady caving. I mean, they were going to hardball him. Like, they, you know, that didn't change. But they thought at the end of the day, if given the prospect between going to a horrible place like Tampa and coming back here on a horrible deal, he'd choose the horrible deal back here. And they were caught with their pants down. This wasn't their plan. Is that occurring to you?
Oh, completely. I think that that's exactly what happened. Again, I think there was absolutely that possibility as well. So part of me thinks there's no way they could have been caught off guard by Brady. But then again, given his history, maybe they did. Maybe they thought he'd cave. He doesn't have the guts to go somewhere else. They underestimated the level of disdain that he held Belichick in, or the level of resentment that he harbored toward Bill Belichick. Whatever it is, the reality is, here's where we are. It has reached the point where their solution at quarterback is to wait for the Indianapolis Colts to cut their backup, really their third guy now, and he's going to compete for the starting job here. To me, if that's what the plan was, I hate it. Again, hate it. I'd rather see him draft a guy and dump Hoyer on the street.
What do you think, Murray?
Oh, I'm pissed. I mean, it's just obviously nonstop bad news everywhere, but at least I can get decent sports news, I feel like, that's not going to break my soul. And then I saw this yesterday. I'm like, oh, no, sports is out to get me, too, because Brian Hoyer is back through that door for the third time. And I'm not that surprised, because once the Colts cut him, I figured he'd be back. There's been rumors that he's been around anyway, so I wasn't that surprised. And overall, to answer your question, how do I feel about the Patriots quarterback situation? Well, prior to Schefter's reporting on it, okay, because bringing Hoyer back, to me, equals Jarrett Stidham as your starting quarterback in 2020. And I'm okay with that, to see what they have with the kid that they selected last year in the fourth round, the unknown. I also think they're going to end up drafting a quarterback this year. But where I I lose it is where I hear Adam Schefter and others say he's going to compete. He's going to compete for the starting quarterback job. No. If you bring Brian Hoyer back, what you're bringing Brian Hoyer back for is to mentor Jarrett Stidham, to be essentially a de facto quarterback coach for Jarrett Stidham and whoever they draft. He's just going to be holding a clipboard, and he's, in case of emergency, break glass in case one of these kids gets hurt. He can't compete for the starting job. You can't do that. You can't do it to the fan base who now have broken because you've lost Tom Brady. You can't do it. Lie to me. I can't hear that Brian Hoyer is going to compete for the starting quarterback job in 2020.
You're waving the white flag. If Brian Hoyer starts 16 games, what's the record?
6-10.
Maz?
Maybe 7-9.
I was going to say, I had him at 8-8 with Stidham. I put him at less with Hoyer. And look, I'm taking a gamble there that I know what Stidham can be over the course of 16 games, and the reality is none of us knows that. Okay, so, but I with Hoyer, it'll be no better than 8-8. I'll tell you that. I think that's their ceiling.
At least 9-7, and they win the division with Brian Hoyer all 16 games. I've been saying it for a year. Why would I change my mind now that he's here? I've been saying it for a year.
Because they've stripped down in other areas. That's why. Because they've taken personnel away from the defense. Now, granted, they did they franchised Tooney, but to me, if you brought back the same defense, I'd like their chances better at 8-8. But it looks to me like, in a lot of ways, it feels like they're ripping this thing down. Not to the studs, but close to the studs.
Okay, but that's fair. Offensively, I mean, I don't change my mind. I haven't changed my mind. Meaning, I think they'd be a functional offense, and I think Brian Hoyer would play within the offense and take the plays that were there, and you would win the games you were supposed to win, and he would be coached up not to make many mistakes, not to make many big plays either, but he would play within the offense. Whatever the offense produced is what he would produce, and they'd win games, and you'd win the division with Brian Hoyer. I said that last year. I'll say it now. I think the ceiling is higher on Jarrett Stidham, for sure. He's got a better arm. So he should have a higher ceiling. But I have no problem with Brian Hoyer coming back. I think they can win with Brian Hoyer, and I haven't changed my mind about that.
At least you're consistent. I'll give you that.
Thank you. Thank you, Dougie. I say Dougie Williams. If you watch on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, Big Jim Murray took him. I'm surprised it took you so long to get your vintage Tampa Bay Buccaneers number 12 jersey. That's Doug Williams, right?
It is, yeah, from 1982.
Let me see the back.
Look.
Mitchell and Ness throwback, yeah.
That is... That's big. You're swimming in that thing, though.
Yeah, it was the only. Yeah, it's a size 52. This is for a large gentleman.
So it's looking good, though. Make no mistake, I think Hoyer competes. I would not be surprised, in fact, if he's with the ones when camp starts, because they're going to make Stidham work for it, as they should, and this is good. Stidham shouldn't be handed the job. The only way Stidham can get better is to compete and to be out there every day trying to give his best. And so they're going to bust Stidham's balls. You watch. Hoyer's going to be your day one starter. And I don't know if that means week one, but I bet you to start camp, Hoyer's with the one, Stidham's with the twos. That's a prediction for you right there. As Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk says, the Patriots brought back Hoyer for a third time, and this one is different than the other two. Hoyer will not be backing up Tom Brady in New England this time, and agent Joe Linta told Pro Football Talk that the Patriots offered Hoyer a chance to compete for the starting job. Linta added that was enough to get Hoyer to turn down more money in order to take the job in New England. So he had offers elsewhere. He came here because Bill promised a shot at the starting job, and Bill's not going to go back on that promise to Brian Hoyer. That's his guy. That's one of his guys. Day one, week one, whenever we get there, Brian Hoyer's your starter, and it's up to Jarrett Stidham to beat him out. And I have no problem with that. I'm much better with that than bringing in someone paying him $15, $17 million. You're paying Brian Hoyer $1 million, so I am just fine with that. But I do get the sense, and you'll hear people say this, that the Pats don't really care. Like, Bill sort of has this attitude, I can win with anyone. And we're going to find out, because I feel like he's taken to an extreme. I can win with anyone. I can win with Brian Hoyer. I can win with Jarrett Stidham. I can win with Andy Dalton if he becomes free. I can win with Cody Kessler. That's how he's carrying himself.
Right, he's not even going after somewhat talented suck. He's going with suck.
So we're going to find out, Billy. We're going to find out your thoughts. Brian Hoyer is your starting quarterback next year. How do you feel about that? 617-779-0985.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
A great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
To me, the best thing for Stiddy was he had to go against our defense every week. So, like, Stiddy had it tough because he had Bill yelling at him about protections, about what to do, that our offense would do. But then Bill would come back and say, well, they don't do that, so do it this way. And then he have all of us screaming, talking trash to him. So I love his poise. I think Stiddy out there, like I would be faking a blitz sometimes and we make eye contact and he'd just start smiling and laughing. And then to me, there was weeks where like he was just on point. And those were some of our best weeks as a defense, mainly because Stiddy ate us up in practice leading up to the game. And I think put more pressure on us. So I really admire just how hard he works. And then I've gotten to know him off the field as well. He's a really good guy. Young guy, but very mature. He's married, does all the good things. So, you know, I think the Stidhams are going to be in New England for a long time.
That was Devin McCourty on FanCred last night talking about Stiddy. Belichick calls him Stid. Teammates call him Stiddy. Maz, why are you shaking your head already?
Stiddy? It's like, and the other thing is, boy, Devin McCourty is bought into the propaganda campaign, huh? Apparently, all it takes is a $5.5 million contract for his brother, and he's on board.
Shouldn't
Well, look, so I told you.
Isn't that the deal, Maz? He should.
Yes, I love McCourty. Okay, I love Devin McCourty. And I give him credit for this. At least he leveraged Belichick and said, I'll come back, but you got to pay my brother. So at least he got something out of it. Like, I kind of admire him for that part of it. I think highly of McCourty. But, man, is there any question that it's, hey, if you get the chance, make sure you pump this kid up. And at least that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Like we're being sold something.
Yes. Well, that's the deal. I'm going to overpay you. I'm going to overpay your brother. You play the game. That's the trade-off. That's exactly what we're looking for.
Okay. And I still am entitled to sort of see through it. So I'll believe it. With Stidham, I hope Stidham's good. Listen, don't get me wrong on that. I hope this guy can play. But when I hear Devin McCourty talking about in practice, how he ate him up in practice, and I just say, okay, all right, let's slow down a little.
Because
Ryan Fitzpatrick kicked your ass in week 17, too. Let's not forget that.
$17 million guaranteed. If that doesn't buy you some good PR and some lip service, then what will? That's the whole point. That's what you're paying for. I don't believe it either. But at least if there's a healthy transaction going on there. So there's that. And also, look, I think Brian Hoyer's, in some respects, the right kind of guy because I want someone here who can start if they have to, but isn't going to be an issue if they lose a starting job. So who is that? That's not Cam Newton. I even wonder if that's Andy Dalton. If Andy Dalton comes in here, he's going to think that he's the starter. And if he's not, what kind of teammate is he going to be? And so that's why, you know, I know you brought up A.J. McCarron, Cody Kessler, Brian Hoyer, Blake Bortles. Like, to me, that's the guy that's, you know, is going to be okay backing up. And so that's what I want. I want Stidham to earn the job. I don't want Stidham to play if he's not ready. I'm not looking at 4-12. And I think if Brian Hoyer's your starting quarterback, you're going to win games. Am I nuts?
Yeah. Mike, if ideally to me, if Hoyer's the backup, well then fine. I mean, again, if they end up landing in a spot though, where Hoyer is their starting quarterback, I just don't see how that's a good thing. I don't see how that's a good thing, and I'd rather have someone else as a stopgap measure. That's all.
Okay, we could we start with your thoughts, Billy in Florida. Lead us off today. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi. Just a quick observation and then I'll let you comment is that, of course, they'd always take Hoyer back anyway. But I also think there's a possibility of the OTAs and the preseasons being truncated. They might not be able to get Stidham up in time so they could use Hoyer to start like the first four games or so until they confident Stidham to come in.
I think you're looking at it wrong, Billy. You're sniffing up the right tree. I think that the truncated offseason, the lack of OTAs, all this stuff makes it harder for someone from the outside to come in. Hoyer's on the inside, Stidham's on the inside, Kessler's on the inside. They've already been here. They've been in the books. So I think that that might contribute to why it's Hoyer as opposed to waiting for Dalton or something else. Because, you know, their time's going to be limited on the field anyway. Nothing to prevent them from off the field sticking their nose in the playbook. Cam and Taunton, they're 9-7 winning the division, at least if Brian Hoyer starts all 16 games. How do you feel about that?
Mike, just do the David Letterman. Tell us what Brian Hoyer has on you. Please. Mike, this is... do you not understand how much this guy blows? If he's the quarterback of this team, the best they're going is 5-11. He is a bum, Mike. If you want to take a middle or quarterback like Andy Dalton and tell me that they can win 8 or 9 games, fine. Brian Hoyer?
Yep.
Mike, he's a backup.
Yep.
You must really not think much of Tom Brady, Mike, if you think the difference between him and Brian Hoyer is 2 wins.
Well, from last year's Tom Brady, it might only be 2 wins. How many games did Brady win for you last year? Seriously, how many games did he win for you?
Both those Bills games.
So that's 2. How many more?
Oh.
I mean, if you want to go past seasons, fine. Like, no question about it.
Yeah, but their defense is going to take a massive hit next year, too. I mean, they've lost 3 out of 4 linebackers. The secondary, I don't think, is going to be as good either.
I think this is a fair point. I mean, if you want to throw that at me, the defense is going to struggle to be as good as it was last year, especially given the competition.
I mean, I'm with Kim. He blows. Hoyer blows. But I think overall, the whole team is going to be down from what it was last year, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
If he blows so bad, you understand that he was, as a starting quarterback in Cleveland, he was 10-6. As a starting quarterback in Houston, he was 5-4.
That was fake. Their defense was awesome that year.
How's that fake?
It was more about the defense than him. He just, like, kept his head above water and the offense's head above water.
So you're saying this Patriots defense can't be as good as that Houston defense in 2015?
Correct.
Okay. Maz?
Well, I was going to say, first of all, when was that? I mean, what are we talking about?
2015. Like, I can't tell you exactly who was on Houston at that time. I've never felt much about that team ever. But any starting quarterback goes 5-4 with them, I mean, that's something. If he can go 5-4 in Houston, go 5-4 here.
Okay, so I'm just telling you that it was 4 years ago. That's all. He's 4 years older. I think the league has changed dramatically over the last 3, 4, 5 years, and I'm not sure Hoyer's the same player anymore. Maybe he is. I'd want to see it, first of all. And then, I'm sorry, there's no way this is where they wanted to end up. There's just no way that this is where they wanted to end up was with Brian Hoyer. No chance.
Well, as we start off the show, I think their original plan was to have Brady cave and come back on a crappy deal. I think that's what they thought was going to happen. But they had to have it in their back of the mind that wouldn't happen, Maz, right? Like, you know, whether they were banking on that or not, they always knew there was a possibility that Brady this time would take the cheese. Then what do you think their plan B was? I think this is exactly their plan B. We'll take whoever, we'll win with whoever. That's what Bill's mindset is. And he may be fabulously wrong. I'm just telling you, I think that's the way he's carrying himself. Like, yeah, just give me whoever. We'll win with him. He'll play within the offense. If not, I'll bench him and put the next guy in. Just do what I tell him to do. And, you know, that's 8, 9 wins right there. And the rest of the division will puke on itself.
Well, so look, one of the things I want to see, and I got to look deeper in this with Hoyer, okay? But really, to me, like you said a second ago, how many games did Brady win for him? He didn't lose many for him either. This, to me, is going to be the hardest thing to replace, is that Brady protected the football. Year in, year out, didn't fumble, didn't throw interceptions, generally didn't put him in bad spots. I'm not telling you it was perfect last year. There were plenty of occasions, particularly early in the year, where he turned the ball over in the end zone or down by the goal line, and they were big mistakes. But in the aggregate, he protects the football as well as anybody in the league or better. And to me, it's not just about how many games did he win, it's how many didn't he lose.
Charlie in Maine. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I just want to get your opinion. I think Tom left because last year, the last 9 games, he was 4-5. And we all know he wants to win another Super Bowl. So I think he thought, I'm not going to win one with the Patriots. So I'm going to go,
Charlie,
even though it's Tampa, yeah. I'm going there.
Charlie, what if they gave him 2 years? Charlie, what if they gave him 2 years, $50 million guaranteed?
Yeah, but I think he wanted
to win. What if they gave him 2 years? I don't mean to yell at you, but just... So you think it's because they went 4-5 last year? I'm asking you, even though they went 4-5 to end the year last year, if they gave him 2 years, $50 million, would he still be here?
I still think he wants to win one more Super Bowl.
So the answer is no. I can't get a yes or no from you. Yes or no? Whether they went 4-5, 1-8, 5-4, if they gave him 2 years, $50 million, would he still be here, Maz?
Yes, absolutely. Now again, the timing might be a factor. In other words, if they had done it at the very end, he probably would have said, go pounce, Sam, too little, too late. But if they had made some sort of earnest effort, an honest effort.
At any point up until he showed up to Robert Kraft's on Monday night, when you're right, maybe the die was cast. At any point before then, whether they went 0-8, 8-0, 4-5, 5-4, if they had given him a real contract at any point, would he still be here?
I think so, yes.
Okay, I agree. So I'm sure he wasn't happy about 4-5. I'm sure he wants better players around him. If they had committed to him, he'd be here. That's what I think. And we'll have more on this coming up because the Palace queue continues. But I want to continue with your thoughts on Brian Hoyer and the Pats' plan at quarterback. Give you some Peter King thoughts from over the weekend before the Hoyer signing, but I think that it is instructive in terms of how they're approaching this whole thing. It is Felger and Maz. It's presented by DraftKings here on a Monday, which is brought to you by our friends and presented by our friends at East Boston Savings Bank. Right, Maz?
Yep, looking to finance a home mortgage or maybe your commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit EBSB.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1848. Murray's got your headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
If you're the Patriots right now, if you're the Patriots, what prevents you from saying, cut him, and then signing Andy Dalton 1 year, $7 million, prove it contract, and they agree with him at the end of this, we won't tag you. You know, so in other words, then you don't have to pay Andy Dalton 17. You could just pay him 7. Or, and again, because my point is that Belichick's going to sit on the sidelines and just wait and see all these quarterbacks who, need a place to play. They got to sign somewhere. So they may have to use 2020 as a audition moment. Even though they've been quality, good NFL starters in the case of Cam Newton and MVP, why wouldn't the New England Patriots just say, on May 1st, we'll sign somebody. We'll just see who's out there. Because they're not all that concerned with who it is.
This is Peter King over the weekend. Big Jim Murray, Felger here in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Maz on remote. I just play that because then again, that was before the Brian Hoyer news. So I don't know if Andy Dalton is still a consideration for them, but I think Peter King's got it right. Why would you trade for Andy Dalton? Bengals may have to cut him.
Yeah, some of these guys are going to shake loose. Him, Cam Newton.
You can sign him for whatever. Cam Newton to me makes no sense, and I think Peter King mentions this as well, because I don't think Cam Newton comes in and accepts backing up or accepts a really cheap salary. Andy Dalton still might. But does Brian Hoyer now rule out Andy Dalton? Because they've already promised Brian Hoyer a chance to compete for the starting job. And this happened today. Maz, I know you like this guy, Kyle Allen. Remember the kid that filled in Carolina and won some games?
Absolutely, yeah.
He was traded today to the Washington Redskins for a fifth-round pick. Kyle Allen has only 1 year on his contract, makes $675,000 for $700,000 and a fifth-round pick. You could have had Kyle Allen. Should they have been in on that?
Yes, I say absolutely. I mean, this is exactly the kind of guy I want. So now, two things about the Kyle Allen move. Number one, why weren't they in on it? I mean, I'd absolutely have been willing to do that. And Allen is a guy who would push Stidham. He started last year in the absence of Newton. And so there you go. You're bringing him in, and now maybe Stidham gets goosed a little. I suppose some of that happens with Hoyer, too. But a younger guy that really threatens Stidham in the long term as much as the short. I hope they draft somebody. But secondly, does him going to Washington mean Alex Smith is available?
That's a good one.
So I look at that, and I love the whole Alex Smith idea. If Belichick ends up with that, then fine. I think you get the best of both worlds. And Mike, when you say if they could get Cam Newton on a one-year deal, if Newton were to get released, here's the only reason I say yes. What if they know Stidham isn't ready and they need just a one-year stopgap guy? 1 year stopgap guy, because, and I go back to some of the stuff that Greg Bedard told us at the end of the season when he said, you know, they're not entirely sure Stidham's going to be ready in year two. They kind of view him like they viewed Garoppolo, who really wasn't ready until year three. If that's the case, then I'm okay with Newton. But this one I know. Hoyer, relative to those guys, Hoyer can't play.
Okay. I think Hoyer's better than you think he is, but I'm the outlier there. Shocker. And I think he would win with Brian Hoyer.
I'm a no on Cam Newton simply because that would feel like more of a PR move to me than anything else. It's like, oh, you're just still starved for relevancy post-Tom Brady. Like, we've now hit a reset or rebuild, if you want to call it that. So let's start it. Don't bring in someone like Newton so that you can finish 10-6 and win a playoff game. To me, that's just putting it off another year.
Yeah, my whole idea is that now it's Bill and the system takes over. And it's like the next quarterback just runs the offense, takes what's there, takes care of the ball, is sort of a role player, if you will. I mean, really. And I just don't think Cam Newton fits that. I think he comes in here with the big swing and whatever.
Yeah.
And he's the guy and he's the man and he carries himself like that. And maybe he wants to get paid like that. And maybe he wants the playing time commensurate with that. And that's not really a knock on him necessarily. It's just what he is.
Yeah.
First overall pick, MVP, national champion. That's just that guy. These other guys, I think, are more conducive to what you're looking for right now. And so I think Newton can play. I'm just a no on him because I don't know if that's a fit. I don't know if that's a fit. Alex Smith I like. But this whole thing is, I mean, I sort of agree with Peter King. It's, yeah, we can win with this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy. I can win with any number of a half dozen guys. Who's ever there and who's ever cheap on May 1 is who we're going to. And I think that's sort of true. What was that second cut I had on Peter King, Jimmy?
And I've said this all along. I have zero inside information on this. Zero.
So stop.
But in my opinion,
if you don't mind, I love the way that take begins. Talk about my kind of take. I got no insight. I got no information. I'm just whipping this thing against the wall.
I have a handful of crap. I'm going to throw it at the wall and see.
When I heard that, I'm like, this is my kind of take. Go, Peter.
And I've said this all along. I have zero inside information on this. Zero. But in my opinion, all along, Andy Dalton has been a perfect Patriots guy. Egoless dude, hard worker, will do anything that they say, never complains. He's got the Patriot ethos. And again, for some reason, hard for me to picture Cam Newton that way. You know, the Cam Newton I've seen in training camp with being the dancer and the yeller and the... And again, that's fine. That's who he is. And a lot of teams... That's wonderful. Probably 25 teams, that's wonderful. Just can't imagine it happening in New England. But again, I don't know, Mike. I think they wait and they look at the pool of quarterbacks, whatever it is, on April 29th, May 3rd, whatever it is, and they pick one.
That's it. I mean, that's how unconcerned. And again, this goes back to the Gasper point, but what crap that was. They're not going to get caught with their pants down. They're going to have someone ready to go in case Brady says no. They're not going to pull a Rob Gronkowski. No, it's the exact same thing. What's ever left on May 3rd is what they're going to take. Right. And they're doing that at quarterback.
Isn't that unbelievable?
They're doing that at after 20 years of the greatest to ever walk on the field. They're going to say, whatever's out there on May 3rd, we'll just take. Who's ever the cheapest, that's what we got.
Which, again, I'm with you on this. It leads me to believe that they thought he was coming back. He'd never go to Tampa.
It's what a high school team does. The senior graduated. We'll just roll it out and see which guy pops out of the sophomore class. It's unbelievable.
Okay. Meanwhile, if it's Brian Hoyer, how do you feel about that? I still think they win the division with Brian Hoyer. Long commercial-free segment and your calls next.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hoyer clutches, fires, it goes, intercepted. Is that Berry? Yes, it is. Aaron Berry with the interception. And just like their week one meeting, Hoyer throws an interception in his his own territory in the first quarter.
Poor throw. I have no idea what Hoyer is looking at. Protection was excellent.
It was knocked out in three. Allen Daly knocked it out. It's pinned up against Atari Poe of the Chiefs. And let's see what happens at the bottom of the pile.
That ball may have slipped right out of Hoyer's hands,
Mike.
Yeah,
it sure did. I thought Bailey was coming in with his arm to knock it free. It was not him. It was just out of the hands.
On the field is a fumble recovered by Kansas City.
Hoyer is scanning. With a massive mistake for the Texans there.
That was just an ill-advised throw. So far, Hoyer is off. He made a terrible decision under duress.
Second and nine. Hoyer shot downfield. Nate Washington throws a throw. It's intercepted. That's a third pick of a half.
And that's three picks in six possessions thrown by Hoyer.
And they're bad interceptions. All three interceptions are horrible. There's no way you throw this football, Mike. Know who you're throwing against. Know the situation. And he fumbled the football. He's turned the ball over four times in the first half.
Interception return.
Not good.
Interception and the fifth turnover, fourth of the game, in the hands of Sean Smith. And that's the story of the day. As Hoyer has been intercepted for the fourth time.
Ball's just terribly thrown, and Sean Smith has the easy interception.
Obviously disappointing when you turn the ball over five times, so you're never going to really have a chance to win the game. It literally is the worst feeling that I've had as a quarterback. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on out there, so all I know is I went to go throw the ball, and my arm went forward, and the ball wasn't in it, so.
You suck, you jackass.
Big Jim Murray helping with that, so that... Here's what I like to look at with Brian Hoyer. He quarterbacked the Houston Texans into the playoffs. He went 5-4 and took him into the playoffs. So he was a playoff quarterback. Well, then when he got there, the Texans lost 30-0. Brian Hoyer.
I remember that game like it was yesterday. It's like, oh my God. Seen.
He went, it was one of the worst postseason performances by your quarterback in the history of the league.
As I was saying, he went 15 of 34, which is 44%, for a .136, four interceptions, no touchdowns, two fumbles. He lost one. Okay. So that's what happened when he got there. So why do you hold that one game against him versus the quarterbacking into the playoffs?
I wanted to look back at it, and because I remember that defense being really good that year, and they were. They were top three in yards allowed. They were eighth overall in points allowed. It was more about the defense than anything else. The quarterbacks for that team that year were him and who was the pot-smoking suckbag that was here that ended up in Houston?
Ryan Mallett.
Yeah. So it was, you know, tall suck or old suck, and they went with old suck. And I know he's had flashes before when he's Cleveland. He's average. He's a little bit less than average, and now he's older. So if they're bringing him in to mentor Jarrett Stidham, fine. I just don't want to hear that he's competing for the starting job because Hoyer, I'm sorry, blows.
And then why do I put emphasis on that game? Oh, I don't know, because it was the only one that mattered. Like, he was so
You don't
bad.
Know that. He probably won games down the stretch to get him into the playoffs.
No, he didn't.
So, well, okay, well, let's look it up then, shall we? Now you're going to make me go to the game log. Stand by.
Okay, you look it up. He's a backup. That's what he is. He's a backup. And then if he is here as a safety net, if Stidham fails, then fine, I guess. I mean, at that point, it's not going to matter anyway. But if he starts week one, which I believe was your original question, if he starts week one, fail. That's a fail. They should be able to do better than Brian freaking Hoyer.
In week 12 that year, they beat New Orleans 24-6. He went 21 of 27. That's a 78% completion percentage, 200 yards, two touchdowns, one interception, a 107.6 rating. Suck on that.
Then what week?
It was week 12.
How come you skipped the next five?
Well, they lost their next two. And then in week 17, I'm just looking at his game log. I don't have total recall of everything that happened that season. Then the last week of the year, they beat Jacksonville 30-6. 25 of 40 for 249 touchdown. He made plays down the stretch to get him into the playoffs.
Yeah, like I said, I know what Brian Hoyer is. I know what he is. I'm with Murray, and I are in agreement on this one. Hoyer sucks. He is. If he's the starter, if he is the plan at post Brady, they could do better than that.
9-7, at least winning the division with Brian Hoyer starting all 16 games. Not that I think he will. I think it's a signal that they think Stidham's the guy. But Chris and Raynham, what are your thoughts?
Hey guys, just this year, Hoyer took a 5-2 Colts team that beat Kansas City and the Texans on the road and then lost to the winless Dolphins team at home, where it was 4th and 10 at the end of the game, and he threw an 8-yard dump off to lose the game. This is the guy that you want to be your quarterback, Felger. This is the guy that you said would be fun instead of having Tom Brady. This is what you want. You want a debate between Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer. You always talk about how the regular season will be more fun this year, and you'll get to root for game to game. You wonder what won't be fun? Not playing in the division rounds, not playing in the AFC Championship game. So you're sacrificing a few fun random Jets games in the middle of the year to be able to not be in the playoffs. So, is that fun to you?
Well, the games themselves, Chris, may not be that fun. But the end result, when they're winning the division and going to the playoffs with Brian Hoyer as their starting quarterback, and then you call up and I get to blow you, that's fun. And you're right. Brian Hoyer's game against Miami this year, not very pretty. 18 of 39, that's 46% completion percentage. One touchdown, three interceptions. Quarterback rating of 38. They lost that ball game 16-12. Not exactly a barn burner. We've got Brendan in Boston. Hold it like it's a pizza, Brendan. Speak loudly. Go.
Hey, this is 100% a spite signing. I mean, does Bill even like Brian Hoyer? He's released him twice for a younger and cheaper option, the first time in Mallett, and then again for Stidham this past season. But the thing is, Hoyer is Brady's security blanket. He always has been, always will be. I mean, what happened in 2017 after they traded Garoppolo? Bill brings back Brian Hoyer. And now by signing Hoyer, that just means that Hoyer can't go to Tampa and be Brady's guy if Brady wants him down there. And if Belichick is as spiteful and vindictive as we all, you know, love and believe him to be, he's got to offer Antonio Brown the max this offseason. That's all I got.
Brendan, thanks for the call. I was expecting the other Brendan with the bad phone. That's a good take. Could Bill have signed Hoyer just to keep him out of Tampa so Brady doesn't get his little buddy?
Sure. I'd rule out nothing when it comes to this little spitting match now. Like, but I do think that it's more an issue of familiarity. I think, really, if he's bringing him in to be the starter, the one thing I don't know is how they feel about Stidham. I'm just going by what Bedard said at the end of the season, that Stidham was going to need another year. That's what Bedard's belief was. And if that's true, and Hoyer's a Mike, of all the possibilities out there, where would you put Brian Hoyer on the list of replacements?
I'd put him behind Andy Dalton. I'd put him behind Alex Smith. I'd put him behind, I think I'd rather have Blake Bortles. So he's down the list, Maz. I still think you'd win with him, though. I do, and I think that there's a factor here with this offseason of not having on-field work, and there's going to have some value in knowing the book and knowing the system and knowing all of that.
So, but where I ultimately land on this is sort of like where I land with Brady, in that if Brady was going to leave, you can't tell me that it's Tampa Bay. Okay, you just can't tell me that. I'm sorry, I don't accept that. That's not a good outcome for Tom Brady. And I feel the same way about the Patriots. If Brady's gone and they had told us Brian Hoyer was the next guy, we're going to accept that? I'm not. They can do better than that.
Can you believe if I told you 2 years ago, 2 months ago, Tom Brady would be in Tampa Bay and Brian Hoyer would be your starting quarterback? You'd puke all over your shoes. You wouldn't believe it.
Unreal.
Caleb and Beverly. Go ahead, Caleb.
Hey, guys, long-time listener. I first want to thank you because in this hard time homeschooling two kids, you guys are sort of my savior at 2 o'clock. But basically, I think Hoyer has a couple advantages because he's one of those Bill Belichick status quo guys. He also can give you a couple games in the beginning of the year until he pukes on himself in the playoffs. And third, he has that scouting prowess where he has helped them in the past scout teams that they've played against in the playoffs. So.
Okay, I don't think those are all much. I think it's familiarity with the system is the number one thing. And he started games in the league. And, also a big one, he's not going to pitch a fit if he loses the starting job. I think that's a big one. You think Bill wants to deal with that? You know, bringing a guy who thinks he's better than he is or, you know, has a outsized view of himself. And if he loses a starting job, now Bill's got to deal with that. I don't think he wants any of that. I think Hoyer checks all of the boxes. And I don't think talent is really high on Belichick's list right now. I really don't, Maz. I don't think talent is, in the top three of what he was looking for in that signing.
Okay, so again, I understand that if this is about Stidham, I get it. I get it. I'm okay with that. But if it's a stopgap measure, if they look at Stidham and say the likelihood of him being ready this year is pretty slim, and Hoyer's the guy, Oh, God, I hope he's got something else planned. I hope Alex Smith shakes loose from Washington. I can live with something like that. I can't live with Brian Hoyer.
It's Felger Mass, presented by DraftKings, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. We continue to grind it out here at the Beasley Media Group. And this weekend, the Palace Q came home to roost. Seth Wickersham, 2 years later, gets to collect on everything that he reported a couple years ago, and boy, did he collect. We'll update the very latest on that after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.